Oil's Next Move.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We could be at a crossroads with the price of oil. Will it keep falling, or is this recent slide just a blip? A government report out today will help determine where the price goes next. It looks at how much gas and oil the U.S. has in reserve right now. Yesterday, oil hit its lowest price since early May, about $120 a barrel. This morning, it's at $122. Shares of the world's largest steelmaker are having a big day overseas this morning, thanks to a bang-up profit report. Stephen Beard has more from London.
ArcelorMittal's net profit more than doubled in the second quarter to $5.8 billion. Higher steel production coupled with higher prices fueled the rise. Most of the growth is coming from emerging markets, Brazil, Russia, China, and Eastern Europe. Today's figures confound the skeptics. ArcelorMittal's share price had fallen 15% since the end of June. Slower global economic growth was thought likely to hit the company's bottom line. But Mittal's buoyant figures seem to be part of a trend. Yesterday, the United States Steel Corporation reported one of its strongest results ever. And today, the mining giant Rio Tinto announced a $2 billion expansion to feed the steel industry's growing appetite for iron ore. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, Tuesday pretty much canceled out Monday's big drop. Yesterday, the Dow gained 266 points to 11,397. The NASDAQ rose 55. The S&P 500 added 28, all about 2% gains. In Asia today, stocks closed 1 to 2% higher, and European shares are up about 1% so far. Today, Congress takes up an issue of great importance to small businesses. There's a federal program that gives money to small companies for R&D, $2 billion a year. But the funding runs out in September unless Congress does something about it. Mitchell Hartman reports from our entrepreneurship desk.
Cybernet Systems in Ann Arbor, Michigan, used an award from the program to invent a robotic device the Army is now using in Kuwait. Heidi Jacobus is CEO.
So what we can do is recover from vast piles of returned ammunition, ammo that is good. That process had been done by hand.
But the House bill would also let high-tech and biotech companies that are owned by venture capital firms bid for the grants. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association says these are small businesses, too.
There is a common misperception that a company that receives venture capital backing has either, one, hit the jackpot, or two, is backed by a large corporation, neither of which are true.
Small business advocates counter that these firms already have plenty of access to R&D funding, and they'll muscle out true small-scale entrepreneurs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
Even the donut shop is going healthier. Dunkin' Donuts says next month it'll start offering flatbread sandwiches under 300 calories each. They're made with egg whites. We have such a strange relationship with the donut shop. In fact, there's a new book about the history of the donut. It's called Glazed America, and the author is Paul Mullins. Paul, how do people look at donuts in this country?
Well, for some of the people that I talked to over the time I did the book, there are folks that believed very strongly that donuts were the holy grail. And then on the other hand, there were people that thought donuts were the worst food on the face of the planet.
Well, how many of those people that said they hate donuts were actually eating a donut when they said that?
A lot of them, you're right. That's one of the kind of interesting contradictions, is that even when people go to the donut shop, sometimes they'll have misgivings, whereas they might go to a coffee shop and drink a rich double latte with vastly more calories, actually, than a donut, and not feel as equally conflicted about them. So I think that's actually one of the things. Donuts are often taken as a sort of symbolic stand-in for all the evil foods that we consume
That's really interesting. So what happens to donut sales in a down economy?
Well, the conventional logic is that donuts are sort of inverse mirror of the economy. So, for instance, during times of recession, folks in the industry argue that donut sales generally will increase because we're pinching pennies. You can eat a very filling snack or meal, you know, at a donut shop for very little money. You know, there are chains that are actually doing, donut chains are doing actually quite well right now.
Well, let's talk about the donut chains. Who's winning the donut war, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'?
Dunkin' is certainly profiting much more and making a whole lot more money right now than Krispy Kreme. On another level, though, Krispy Kreme has been very stable. There's a much, much smaller number of Krispy Kremes out there, but they do a very, very good PR. So they have a kind of cachet to them. You know, my impression is that whenever a chain comes into a local market, such as Dunkin' here in the Midwest, all the little local bakeries, those individual owner-operator bakeries, they do well too. And one of the arguments that a local baker told me is he said, well, you know, it's not really just the chain per se that people are interested in. It's really donuts that they want to consume.
All right, Paul, what's your favorite donut?
I'm a fan of Super Sweet Donuts as a Southerner. And there's a donut shop here in Indianapolis, Long's Bakery, that makes a very, very sweet vanilla-filled donut that's really superb.
I cast my vote for Tim Horton's Canadian Maple Donut.
They're delightful, actually. Tim Horton is a very distinctive flavor. It's a niche that's not really very well covered by American donut makers.
Paul Mullins, he's the author of Glazed America. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
In Los Angeles, which has the most donut shops in the country, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.